Psalms chapter number 50 this evening. Verse number 22, we'll look at one verse, we'll look at the whole entire chapter throughout the evening. Psalms chapter 50 and verse number 22, I want you to hear what the Bible says. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Now when God says, now consider, I think he's got my attention. But as if that wasn't enough, he puts a little exclamation point of who he's talking to and what will happen if that group of individuals that he's talking to does not listen. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver you. I'll make a statement. The battle of the Christian life is won and lost on the battlefield of the mind. You lose the battle of the Christian life far long before you do something you shouldn't, or you stop doing something you should. It begins up here. Whether that process takes 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, 7 years, that battle for the Christian life takes place in the mind. No wonder we find in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And what happens? Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with my flesh. There's a fight. There's a big war that takes place. It's won and lost in the mind. I want us to look at one phrase this evening for the next 30 minutes. Now consider this. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'd ask now that your presence would be here. It's been good to be in church today. I've enjoyed fellowship with the folks of this room. I've enjoyed hearing the good singing. The singing means great today. Lord, I've enjoyed all the activities that have taken place. But once again, Lord, now, I'd ask that you'd allow my mind to be clear, that you'd allow the truth that you've given to me to be presented in a simple, in a clear way that could be easily understood, but easily applied to our life. I yield myself to you, and I'd ask that your presence would be here this evening. We'll ask these things in your name. Amen. Psalms chapter 50 and verse number 22. Keep your Bibles ready. We'll use them just a little bit this evening. The Bible says, now consider this. I read that and I instantly thought of the old paper boys that used to cry and echo as they would sell their papers. All right, you hear that old newspaper boy, now hear this, now hear this. I almost hear that old admiral on a battleship giving an announcement to those sailors. Now hear this, now hear this. I read Psalms 50 one day in my devotion, and it just, these words begin to echo in my mind. And it says, now consider this. Well, by the time you get to verse 22, you've read the whole chapter. I read this phrase and went, well, what's he talking about? I must not have read it good enough. So I go back to verse number 1 and I read it again. And I find some things that God wants us to consider. Now, that word consider means to do this. It means to think carefully. It means to think about something specifically, but for a purpose. It means to think carefully about something in order to make a decision. I'm going to think about something, so I make a decision, so I act on the decision. That word consider is far deeper than, well, I'm just going to sit here for a few moments and contemplate on a topic or contemplate on something. I'm going to consider this because I want to think about it. I want to meditate. That'll be a word we use this evening. I want to meditate on it so I will then make a decision and then act on the decision. This word consider means to reflect on, to contemplate. And I like this word, a very underused word. I like the word muse. David said, while the fire burned, I mused. I mused, and his heart was burning with fire. You see, we live in a world of amusement. That prefix there, that one letter ah, means no. The word muse means to think. When I go to an amusement park, I go to a place that requires no thinking. We mentioned this morning about living a life that's given to entertainment. Maybe it was Sunday school. But it's important in our own Christian life that we don't live an amused Christian life. Too many Christians are enamored with what the Christian life would give them versus thinking about what God wants from that individual Christian. Let's use our Bibles for just a minute. I've got a good list here of things that the Bible tells us to think about. Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 39. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 39, if you don't have time to turn to these, you'd like to write these scriptures down and just listen to me read them. I promise I'm reading them straight from the King James Bible this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 39, the Bible tells us to consider that God is the one and only true God. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. No wonder Deuteronomy 6:5, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I think we need to get back to considering, to thinking about who God is. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 5, the Bible tells us to consider the chastenings of the Lord. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, right? The Bible tells us to consider the chastenings of the Lord. Why do we want to think about that? If I can get a child in my home or in school to think about what will happen as a result of this decision, he will be more inclined to make a proper decision. Do I want to do what's right and be rewarded and blessed? Or do I want to make a foolish decision and suffer the consequences? It's important to consider the chastenings of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 7. The Bible tells us to consider the actions of the previous generations. We've come so far, we're ignoring the mistakes of previous generations, and we find ourselves making the same foolish decisions. No wonder the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:7, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Single homes, struggling without a dad. Moms, put your men under your boys under the auspice of men. Get them influenced by men. Those homes that have a mom and a dad. Fathers, lead your children to seek counsel, guidance, and wisdom from other men. I know it'll be hard to believe, but one day that child might not want to listen to you. And if you've got them connected to a man they respect, there'll be somebody they can get counsel to. And it'll be a life-saving moment. Consider the actions of the previous generation. There in the same chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, look down at verse number 29. The Bible tells us to consider the end of life. Better is the end of a thing thereof than the beginning. Why do I want to think about the end of life? When I think about Jesus coming, I think about what's going to happen to me when I stand before Him. Did I do what I should have done? And that causes me to act now how I want to be rewarded according to later. Deuteronomy 32:9. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Probably the single most important thing you can teach your children is to seek wisdom. If they seek wisdom, they'll be hard workers. If they seek wisdom, they'll be godly. If they seek wisdom, they will not be blinded by the foolishness of this world. Oh, that we would read this verse and pray this prayer and teach our children. Oh, that they were wise and that they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. Teach your children at 5 and 6 and 7 that one day your body's going to change. There's going to be some chemical changes. And you're going to face some things. You're going to start feeling some things you've never felt before. And you need to have principles. You need to have habits. You need to have rituals. You need to have things set in place to protect you, to guard you, that when your body tells you to do one thing, you don't listen to your body. You obey what the mind has been programmed to think, programmed to follow God's word. We find in Proverbs 24 in verse number 32, to be observant of the life around us and to consider how it applies personally to us and receive instruction. So many people, first of all, walk through life just oblivious to what's going on. Oh, I didn't realize that. What world are you living in? You would think that you were talking to a teenager, but we've got somebody 30 and 40 years old that just oblivious to how life functions. But not only are to we be observant of life, how does it apply to me today? You know, there was a day, I've enjoyed reading some old sermons. You know, there was a day when a hurricane, a tornado, or an earthquake, that the next Sunday the preacher would stand up and preach what the Bible says about the weather. When's the last time you heard life presented from a biblical point of perspective to that end? Learn to see life, be observant of how it happens, but view it through God's Word. Apply how life is around you through the application of God's Word. Proverbs 24, 32. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. I believe, did not make the note here, but I'm pretty sure this is talking about going by a field, watching a wall being broken down, the nettles grown up. Life is teaching. Take opportunities, parents, as you're driving down the road. Hey, kids, you see that? That's what happens when you don't obey. Hey, kids, you see this? This is what happens to those who disobey mom and dad. Hey, kids, this is why we tell you to clean up your room. Hey, kids, this is why I saw and I considered. Luke chapter 12, and verse number 27. Consider the lilies and how they grow. When I look at the fields while I'm hunting, I'm reminded often of this passage of Scripture, and I'm reminded of how much God cares about me. He's talking to about Solomon and all of Solomon's glory, the riches that Solomon had. And what's the rest of the verse saying? They toil, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In this passage of Scripture, he talks about a sparrow not falling from heaven without noticing. If God cares that much about the field and about a burn, how much more does he care about an individual of whom he died for? I need to be considerate of the things that God has instructed me to consider. How about 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And if it's not 1 Timothy, try 2 Timothy, because I got it written one way, and the one way the other way, all right? But I got the verse written here, so I don't have to find it. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what I say. Think about what the Bible says. We got a world that's, we read in the book of Acts, that the Greeks clamoring for new knowledge. Paul stood up and said, to the unknown God, him declare I unto thee. We got a world that's starved for information, but yet we live in the information age, and we live in a world that's more ignorant than it's ever been before. People call us ignorant. They call us foolish. Yet when life happens, we're the ones that take the right steps. We're the ones that find our way through the storms of life. And we're the ones that come out all the other end, happy, blessed, and unscathed from the scars of sin. Why would I want to trade what I've got available to me for what they claim to have? Let them say what they're going to say. You're number one, you're never going to please anybody. That's right. And if that's a true statement, I might as well just try to please the one that cares the most about me. Amen. How about Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24? We are told, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This is what a Sunday school teacher does. They provoke their class unto love. They provoke unto good works. This is what a parent does for their children. This is what a grandma does for their children, for their grandchildren. This is what an aunt will do for a niece. This is what an uncle will do for a nephew. This is what we do for one another. When we go soul winning, I'm not just seeking to give somebody the gospel, although that's my number one priority. But if they've already been saved, my job's not done. What do I want to do? I want to provoke them unto good works. I want to provoke them to love. How about Hebrews chapter 13 in verse number 7? Hebrews chapter 13 in verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. And this is a very interesting statement. Considering the end of their conversation. This isn't talking just about a one-on-one conversation. This is talking about the ends of conversations. Last people's words are important. Go through the Bible and read what last people's words are. Read his history and find out what people say on their deathbed. They live their life one way, but when they're staring death in the eyes, what comes out of the mouth reveals what is truly in the heart. Considering the end of their conversation. Follow the faith. Consider that. Hold true to what has been taught. It is obvious to even the most of casual readers that when you read the Word of God, there are certain things in life that God wants us to consider. No wonder he tells me in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God does not give us an arbitrary list of things to think about because there isn't anything else in this world to think about. There's a lot of things that clamor for our mind. There's a lot of things that are trying to feed us tidbits of information. And they're a thing that, oh, that might be interesting to know, but it does not matter how often I find a piece of intellect, boy, that's really neat. Let me read some on that. When I get to the end of it, I'm like, you didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. Through the wisdom of God's word, all understanding and knowledge and wisdom is given. He gives us these instructions so he can work in our lives and so he can produce actions that he can bless. How about Psalms chapter number 1? Look at Psalms chapter number 1. What are some actions in my life that God wants to produce? By meditating on God's words, he will help me to choose the right paths of life. Psalms chapter number 1. Meditating on God's word will produce the result of choosing the right paths in life. Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How we need a return to the message of walking with friends who were godly. May I extend that to your television programs? Oh, you would never let somebody knock on your door and perform immoral acts in your living room in front of your children. But how dare we let it in through the one-eyed monster called the television? Careful now. Psalms chapter 1, watch who your friends are, but what does it produce? But his delight, whose delight? Blessed, the blessed man, the one who's listened to wise counsel. But his delight is where? In the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When your mind pauses, where does it run to? Does it run to the latest American Idol? Does it run to the latest television program? If you've been around me for very long, you know there's some television programs that I just absolutely love. You talk Green Acres, Hogan's Heroes, Gilligan's Island. I can talk the one-liners the best of any of you, probably. And God forgive me later for it. I just enjoy it. But now hold on. That not ought to be what all consumes my mind. That not ought to be where my mind runs. We ought to fall in love with God's word. I find in Psalms chapter number 8. Boy, this is good. When I meditate on God's word, it will produce an attitude of praise. Praise is a reaction, not a response. Praise is a predetermined action that regardless of what happens, is going to this is what I'm going to do. You never rise to the occasion. You always fall to your training. You'll never just rise to the occasion and do something spectacular. You will fall back to what your training is. Psalms chapter 8, I could read the whole chapter. This is one of the very first chapters I vividly remember memorizing. But it is so good so many years later. When I consider the heavens. I love having the car that's got the window open on the top now. I get to do this without them even knowing it. They think they're being entertained. But what are they? Look at the clouds. Every time I get in the car, the first thing, I want to look up. I want to look at the sky. They're getting their eyes up. We live in a world that got their head in a phone and a screen, got their ears popped in with headphones, earbuds, and they got no idea what's going on. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I don't understand a proud Christian. First of all, I look at Calvary, and that alone is humbling. But when I look at the world, I did this in my science class. Take a picture of the state or the county you're in. Then show a child a picture of the state. Then show them a picture of the United States. Then show them a picture of the world. Then show them a picture of what Earth looks like from the moon. And then say, where's heaven past this? Can you imagine how small Earth is? Show them a picture of the galaxy. Then all the other galaxies, you can't even see Earth. And here we are. Mr. Big Me, I'm all that and a whole lot of nothing. Right? When I consider, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What an honor when I wake up in the morning that God wants to spend time with me. The fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Meditating on God's word will protect me in life as well as those who follow my example. Everyone is a leader. First grader, you're leading kindergartners. Second graders, you're leading first graders. High schoolers, you're leading the elementary. Teenagers, you're leading the next generation. Moms and dads, you're leading the next generation. We are all leaders. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Does that sound like a part-time job? That sounds like diligence. Give all thy diligence, everything that's in your power. Meditate upon these things, the scriptures. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. We want that profiting appearing to all to happen by our own power. We want to skip time spending the word of God. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. My biggest fear in life is for Christians and for myself, that we become so accustomed to being around spiritual things that we become dull and we no longer consider the things that are truly special in life. There was a day when we didn't have the Word of God. There was a day when a meeting like this would not have been very wise for the health of all those involved. 2-3 weeks ago, I guess a month ago, when we went to camp, spoke to a missionary. He's been in China for 6 years. And they said, please, don't take our prayer letter. Don't put our name anywhere. Anywhere. Email, publicly. Don't do it. Before COVID started, they took a retinal scan, they took a picture scan, they took a fingerprint, and anytime our face or anything is seen somewhere on camera, it's recorded and they're watching us as a missionary. They're still happening today. I don't necessarily promote it, I don't remember what it's called, but Martyrs Magazine or something like that. I'll thumb through it every once in a while and find a story of Christians being persecuted in Islamic countries. I could give you a name of another missionary that my wife and I personally supported for 2 years while we were in Florida, who, when ISIS came through, when they got big and popular, for 3 days straight, they laid on their bellies, them and their three kids, praying that they would not enter into their house. For 3 days, no bathroom, no food, no water. Three kids. And here they are, still missionaries. It still happens. I don't ever want to not be able to enjoy what God has given me. I need to consider. I'm very close on my time this evening, but can I give you three things from God's Word very quickly to specifically consider? Number one, I need to consider the one who has set the boundaries of right and wrong. Must be careful. We talked about idolatry a little bit this morning in Sunday school, but it is very easy to justify why I do what I want to do. Do not set yourself up as God. It's not a good illustration for your life. It's not healthy, but also for the next generation, because all you're doing is teaching them that what God's Word says doesn't really matter, as long as you can justify in your mind why you do it. We'll criticize the public education, but if we're not careful, we'll live our lives just the same. The mighty God, Psalms 50. We read the verse number 22, but back in Psalms 50. The mighty God, even the Lord hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. God has set in place laws that cannot be changed. You read the book of Romans. It talks about what if some did not believe? It has no effect on what happens. Oh, I don't believe if I jump off this bridge, I'm going to fall. You can believe what you want. It's not going to change what happens. Well, I don't actually believe that's going to happen. You don't have to, but I'll be here to help you when you make that decision. We need to consider that God is the one who sets the bounds of right and wrong in our standards. Don't compare your dress to the world. Don't compare how you talk to the world. Don't compare how you rear your children to the world or to Hollywood. The biggest criminality of teaching evolution was the single point of eliminating God from our minds, from our home, and from our society. Because when we deny God as creator, we deny God's very authority. When we deny God as creator, we deny man's obligation to obey the truths that are found in God's Word. And when God saw everything that He made, behold, it was very good. When God created this world, I want you to catch this statement. When God created this world, He not only made it beautiful in His sight, but He also created a lifestyle that was equally as beautiful when followed. Adam and Eve lived a beautiful lifestyle. Harmonious beauty of marriage. There's not a prettier picture of love than a man and a woman united in holy matrimony, committed to each other's life. But what happened? They decided to do it their own way. And they said, oh, this life is, oh no, I'm naked. This life is not what I thought it was. God not only created this world beautiful, but He also created a lifestyle that was just as equally beautiful if we would follow. Well, I just don't like the Christian life. It doesn't apply to me. You're not living it. Because, brother, I'm here to tell you, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Today, yesterday, that's not the song. What's that song talks about? Jesus, I love Him more today than I did yesterday. Every day it gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Let me say this and I'll move on. Just because man finds a way to justify his actions in his own eyes, it does not mean that he is justified in God's eyes. Man cannot deny the fact. Let God be true and every man a liar. Consideration number one in your own life, please consider that God is the one who sets the bounds of right and wrong. Consideration number two, that God is the one who will judge all right and wrong. Psalms chapter 50 and verse number 3. Our God shall come. He shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him. I read that word fire and I think of 1 Corinthians. I believe it's chapter 10. Talking about the trials of our faith. The trials of our works to be tried by fire. The wood, the hay, the stubble, it's all going to be burned up. But the precious metals is what will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. And He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself. He is the supreme judge. could take you to a passage of scripture. I do not have time. But judge nothing before it's time, the Bible tells us. Don't spend your life judging everybody else. Amen. Spend your life thinking about what will happen to you when you're in judgment. You will live a much more holy, a much more pure, and a much more profitable life. Man is not to trust his own judgments. He is to live by the instructions of God's word. Man is not to trust a carnal logic about what is good and evil. I am to read God's word and live my life accordingly. I am not to attempt to establish my own standard of purity. He is to be the standard of purity. Man is not to spend his life judging the thoughts and actions of others. He is to live his life comparing his life, his thoughts, his actions to God's word. God is not concerned with what I can give him. Psalm chapter 50, verse number 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, for thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field, they are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't need your money. His streets of gold are paved with things far finer than the finest gold you could ever even find on this planet. Well, what do we think we can really give him? What does he want us to do? We read there, he wants us to pay our vows. Pay your vows. What have you told God you would do? That's what God wants. God wants your praise. God wants your thanksgivings. God wants your worship. God wants a personal relationship with you. God wants those vows to be kept to him. You cannot improve living a life of faith. Not only, number one, do we need to consider who God is and that God has set the boundaries of right and wrong. Not only, number two, do we need to recognize that God is the one who will judge all right and wrong. But lastly, number three, we need to consider that God is keeping score, whether we think he is or not. There was a high school teacher I had, a physics teacher. He and I didn't see eye to eye about life. He didn't care. And he and I would butt heads semi-frequently. I know it's hard to believe. But he taught me not how to be smart, but he taught me how to think. He said, I'm not very smart. And I was like, man, this guy's a pilot. This guy's a chemist. You know, this guy's good. He's very brilliant. But he said, here's how you learn. You don't memorize everything. You understand concepts. Well, he got me there because I was not very smart. You look at my grades, it'll prove it. But one day in chapel, and I never wrote the statement down till God gave me this message. I promise I haven't. He made a statement one day in chapel, said, God is keeping score. One of the biggest things I struggled with as a church kid, was bitterness. Why is everybody else getting treated differently than I? Why don't I get to do what they're doing? Why don't I? Why this? And he made a statement that jarred me and that's been imprinted in the back of my brain ever since. God is keeping score. Psalms chapter 50 and verse number 16. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou do to declare my statutes? Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and casteth my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou contendest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's sons. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. It's an interesting study when you start recognizing how often God is watching what you're doing. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, we sing the song with the kids. It's a nice, but it's a very, very, very powerful truth. God says, I saw this, but I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. How often does the world mock God? He's just like us. We're just like him. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Judgment day's coming. God's keeping score. Oh, I got away with it. You did, for now. But God's got it written down. But on the other side, he's also keeping track of what good you do. He's also watching how you live your life. You'll reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. You'll reap after you sow, and you'll reap more than you sow. God is keeping score. God is looking at your actions. Psalms chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked. And him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their compass, but of their cup. But I am thankful that the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. As a child of God, would have been easy for the Levites to get mad at God. They went through the battles and God said, no, no, no. You don't get any land. I am your inheritance. Sounds kind of like they're missing out on life a little bit. Christian, don't get enamored with what the world thinks they have and thinks they can offer you. As a child of God, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. God is the portion of mine inheritance, and you'll enjoy the journey a whole lot more if you understand that God is keeping score. I don't need to live my life throwing darts at the world, criticizing the world, spending my time being thrown into a spiral that the media presents. I don't have to live my life being consumed with the outside world. All I got to do is read God's word, live the life God has called me to live, love people the way that God has called me to love, and watch what happens. Amen. Don't make the mistake. Do not mistake God's forbearance of judgment as his acceptance of your lifestyle. Verse number 21. We read it. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and I will set them in order before thine eyes. Don't mistake God not judging you on the spot as he's accepted what I've done. You better be careful. Their judgment's coming one day. We'll close by reading the verse we started with in Psalms chapter 50 in verse number 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there is none to deliver you. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. We need to, on purpose, consider those things that God has told us so that we do not experience the judgments of God and say to God, well, I just didn't know. How many times are you going to tell your kid, well, what's the rule book say? What are the rules of the house? That's not gonna hold water before the Lord. I just didn't know. I gave you 66 books to read. What were you doing the whole time? I like what Proverbs chapter 4 says. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Consider this. There's a lot in life that consumes our mind. But I remind you of Romans chapter 7. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Spend your life not viewing life the way you think it should be, but put life into perspective through God's word. Every head bowed, every eye closed, we'll pray. As the pianist makes his way there. Very, very simple study, to be honest with you. This was a result of a personal devotion one morning. But I feel it so important in the day and age that we live. There's so much that can cause our minds to be distracted. Keep the main thing the main thing. You're a firefighter. Fight fires. As a Christian, read the Bible. Now consider this. Don't let your mind become so clamored with the things of this world that you get through life and you realize you haven't spent much time considering the things that are most important. If you're here this evening and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I ask that you would not leave before getting that straightened out. I can have somebody take a Bible and show you very quickly what the Scripture says. For the rest of us that are faithful to church week in and week out, my prayer and my desire would be that we leave from here with a hunger and a desire to learn and to know God better.